we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Ourselves, you know, what's one way we could improve the sermon? And we thought, you know what, a sermon bumper introduction video that's really bad makes the sermon look that much greater. And so we're just gonna, you just let us know if we're anywhere on to something. Make sure we're really testing this, so make sure you're here next week, because we've got a real doozy next week. If you thought that was horrifying and terrible, you need to be here next week to see what we will offer you in the area of Tim Allen grunts. All right. Over the past 2 weeks, we've been talking about building and fixing your home in the middle of our sermon series called Home Improvement. Now, I want to warn you, Home Improvement, this series has nothing to do with Tim Allen besides the awful bumper videos. Today, we're going to be talking about maintaining your home. My name is Chris Fluitt, and I'm greeting everybody online, everybody in the room. We're so glad that you are here with us. Yeah. It is important to learn the art of maintenance. All right. Amen. Do you agree? I mean, might not be the most exciting thing, but you know from some hard experience that it is important to learn the art of maintenance. Yeah. Everything you own needs to be maintained.
Yes.
Real quick, try to think of one thing you own that doesn't need to be maintained. Everything about you and every part of your life, there is a need for maintenance.
All right, right.
Your car, does that need maintenance? Oh, man, that's a sore subject for many of us, right? Your car needs things. Name some of the things your car needs.
Oil.
Gas. It needs oil. It even needs window washing fluid, right? Every once in a while, you got to replace those blades. I only think to replace those blades when I'm already in the rain and I can't see. I need to replace these blades. Literally, that's how it goes for me. Every car has a manual, and included inside that manual are mileage indicators where you can expect to need to do maintenance on part of your car. That's inside your car. Did you know that? That's important. How about your clothes? Do your clothes need maintenance? What are some things that need to happen to our clothes? We need to wash them. We need to iron them, press them, dry them, fold them, hang them up. In case of really nice clothing, we need to take them somewhere special. We need to take them to a dry cleaner. See, Jacob, you're learning so much at church today. You didn't know any of this. It's really good stuff. I'm giving him a hard time. All right, your house, does that need maintenance? Oh, my goodness, does the house need maintenance? You need to take care of your yard. You need to cut the grass and shrubs so that they don't overgrow your yard, overgrow your house. Actually, trees can start to rub up against your house, and they will ruin your roof. They will hurt your house. Inside, you need to clean the floors. One of my least favorite things in the world, because you clean the floors, and those three children of mine, I don't know what it is they do. True story, we were visiting someone's house the other day, and Sarah sees my middle child, Hudson, walk into the house, and it looks like he's tracking mud. And so my wife says, "Hudson, you're tracking mud." And Hudson just looks up at her and says, "Nope, it's poop." Welcome to my world. Welcome to my world. You've got so much maintenance to do. Sometimes touch-up paint is needed where someone banged or dinged a wall or threw their brother into it. Something like the list of things that can be that need to be maintained, it's overwhelming. It's unending. Would you agree? Are you with me so far? I did some searching on home maintenance, and I have some bad news. Chances are that right now, you're not maintaining your home. Here's some things that you're supposed to do yearly. Every year, you're supposed to clean your chimney. If you don't clean your chimney, you better not use your chimney. It could cause a fire. Yearly, you're supposed to flush your hot water heater and remove sediment to prolong its life and improve efficiency. I have never, ever, ever done that. Yearly, you're supposed to check and clean your dryer vent exhaust. You know, you got your clothes dryer and it's got that vent. Yearly, you're supposed to pull that out from the wall and actually check that dryer vent and clean it up. This is one of the major causes of home fires, the dryer vent. Yearly, you should clean out your gutters. Anyone forget to do some of these things? Anyone? Yeah, right? Biannually, so twice a year. It is suggested that you vacuum. This is news to me. I might have to fact check this. Someone fact check this. You are supposed to vacuum your refrigerator coils. It could save you $100 a year on your electricity bill. You're supposed to pull your Frigidaire out from the wall and bring your Dyson vacuum and go up there. And the vents at the bottom? I thought it was the coils on the back. I'm just not sure. We're going to have to look further into it. But this is totally news to me. Both? You're supposed to do both. Of course, you're supposed to do both. All right, whatever makes it harder. All right. Biannually, you're supposed to test the pressure relief valve on your water heater.
Of course.
It's a red handle, I think. You're supposed to go over there and make sure that's working. All right. You just hit it really hard till it breaks off and starts pouring out water. And then you go, oh, it's working. Then you have to hire a plumber. All right. Okay. Two times a year, you're supposed to do that stuff. Anyone forget to do that stuff?
Yeah.
All right. I think we got the whole room. All right. Quarterly. We're talking four times a year. You are supposed to test the garage door auto reverse feature. There is an auto reverse feature that was demanded of all garage doors in 1993. You are to set something like a 2x4 piece of wood on the ground in the spot that your door lowers. You lower the door, and if it hits the wood, it's supposed to bounce back up, and it could save a little children's life. If it doesn't go back up, it could, you know, harm a little child, right? It's bad stuff. Quarterly, you're supposed to check all your smoke and carbon dioxide detectors. The truth is, we let those things beep forever. We're like, oh, we need to change that thing. Beep. There it goes. Oh, yeah, we need to change that thing. oh, it stopped beeping. We're good now. Like, it actually ran out of complete energy. All right. This maintenance could actually save a life. We're not talking about silly maintenance here. More than just save a dollar, this could save a life. Surely you never forget these things every quarter, being that they're so important. Oh, how about this one? Monthly. Monthly. You're supposed to check your air filters and possibly replace them. We're coming up on the one-year anniversary of my home, and just transparency, I have replaced those air filters once. All right. So I'm under conviction. I will go change those next month. All right. So monthly, you're supposed to clean your range hood filter. You know what that? Your range is where you cook, and above it, you've got something that sucks up all the smoke, and there is a metal little filter there. You're supposed to scrape off all that caked-on grease and pull that thing out and go clean that thing. And it is nasty, filthy. They actually recommend that you go to the auto store and you get a degreaser, put it in the sink, and let it just sit there for a year. And then take that out. All right. We all clean our kitchen sink disposal monthly, right? I mean, like, actually clean it. Not just use it. Actually clean it. They suggest freezing vinegar in ice cube trays, and then running them through the disposal. So you're getting all kinds of information here.
Yeah.
frozen vinegar in ice cube trays. Now, don't actually get them confused and then use them at Connect Group. All right? Of course, you should monthly also inspect your fire extinguisher. Now, Dad, my dad's here. I remember, did we have a fire extinguisher growing up?
Yeah.
Did we ever check that thing?
We never needed it.
I mean, they keep forever, those things. No, they don't. You're supposed to check it monthly. Thank you, Lord, we never needed that thing. All right. Anyone need to go home and do some maintenance? All right, I'll see you all next week. No, we're not done yet. Go home and do those maintenance. I'll have these notes online if you need to look over them. Here's my point. We forget what's right in front of us. We are that way as humans. We just absolutely forget. My water heater is right there front and center in my garage. I don't go a day without seeing that water heater. But I don't think about that water heater. It's present, but I don't pay it any mind. I will probably complain if the water's not warm enough when I go to take a shower. But beyond that, I forget what's right in front of me. You can see something daily, but not think about maintaining that thing. That thing you see every day. We are that way as people. I got news for you. It leads to a lot of divorce. Because you're married every day until you're not. It leads to struggles between parents and children. It leads to financial problems. It leads to spiritual problems. There are a lot of things. There's a big list we could make, but let's just move on. We are that way with new things sometimes. Sometimes we notice the new things when they're brand new, right? You notice the new car smell, but that smell fades away. And suddenly, there's this thing. You get that new car, and everybody gets that new car. It's like, nobody's ever going to eat in my new car. No, sir. No, sir. Nobody's going to eat in this thing. No drinks, no nothing. And then give it a month. Give it 2 months. You're like just throwing stuff on the ground, just walking inside the house. Like the simple things, like even just picking up after yourself in the car. No, we go away from that. Okay, just me too. Me too. I've done it, all right? Don't get too convicted about it, all right? But you see, the newness wears off. And with it, our awareness. We become less aware of these things. Over time, we forget to do things like our maintenance list we read about earlier. Some people get to the place where they actually forget to say things like, I love you. Or, thank you. When you first got married, she cooked you that meal. That was new. It was such a gift. And you realized it was a gift. And you made sure to thank her. Could it be that you don't thank her anymore? Could it be that you've lost that newness, that you've lost some awareness? There's some squirming in the church, all right. Y'all pray about it. Hey, how about this? Every gift that y'all give each other, married couples, become aware of it. Be thankful of it. Don't ever lose awareness of it. Honor the gift that's given. Don't take it for granted. We take things for granted. I tell you, the word thank you is a word that we need to use more in the world we're living in. We don't use the word thank you near enough. I love you and I thank you. We're in danger right now. Right now. Here in this place. Right now. Because we're in this place again. This isn't new to you anymore. This is not your first time here. It's not your first time in His presence. It's not your first time hearing the Word of God. Before today's over, we're going to open this altar. Not a first time for you. You're in danger. You're in danger because the newness wears off. And with it, the awareness. Another Sunday afternoon service here at Redemption Church. Another time singing songs about Jesus. Another time hearing the Word of God. Another time talking to God in the altar. Are we forgetting what's right in front of us? Are we forgetting it? Are we no longer aware? Can I tell you real quick? It's not just another Sunday. It's not just another Sunday at Redemption Church. That's what Psalm 118, 24 says. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice and be glad. In other versions, say it like this. This is the day that the Lord has made. The Lord has done it this very day. He's at work this very day. It's not just another Sunday here at Redemption Church. This is the day that the Lord has made. You might hate Mondays. Tomorrow's Monday, but it's just not another ordinary day. It's the day the Lord has made. He has orchestrated that day. And you ought to be glad and rejoice in it. What day? Every day. You ought to be aware of it every day. Are you aware of it? Every day. How long has it been since you felt that newness in God that anything is possible any day? You got another day at work and you just walk in going, I wonder how God's going to bless me at work today. I wonder how he's going to open up a door for me to share the Lord with someone. I'm just out and about in my life and I've got errands to do. But you know what? When I'm doing errands, I just have a way. God opens up doors and I meet brand new people. I can invite somebody to church today. I could share the gospel with somebody today. The person that I'm passing on the side of the road that's homeless, I could roll down my window. I could give them a little bit of money and tell them that God loves them and ask them if they want to know more. You see, it's not just another day. Don't let the newness wear off, because he makes every day brand new. He gives you brand new mercy every day. That's what the Bible says. It's not just another song. You know that? It's not just another song. I got a whole passage to read. We're going to look at it. Psalm 95:1. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Now stop for one second. Just when was the last time you sang for joy to the Lord? They're singing that song and I'm supposed to. No, you sing for joy. You know, it doesn't even say sing with the worship team. What if you just were so happy in the Lord that you just started singing out loud? What if you did that? I remember growing up with my dad. My dad does that to this very day. You can be riding with my dad in the car, and he will give one of these numbers. He'll go, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He'll do that out in public and not know it, and people are like, what did you say? And he's like, oh, I'm just thanking Jesus. Come. Let us sing for joy to the Lord. Like the joy brings the music out of you. You don't sing to be happy. You're happy and you start singing. Let us shout, it says. Shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. When was the last time you just shouted aloud to God? I give you permission to do it right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You're so good. You're the rock of my salvation. You're my everything. Verse 2, let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. You realize that we are extolling him with this music and song. That's why we need you to join in with this. We're not just watching the worship team extol him. We are extolling him with music and with song. Verse 3, for the Lord is the pretty good God.
No.
The good king that's, he's up there with others. Wrong. He's all right. My goodness. It says, for the Lord is the, say it, great God, the great king above all gods. Oh my goodness. If he truly is above all gods, if he truly is the great God, the great king, maybe that ought to come out in a little bit of your worship. My goodness. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it. and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. I saw somebody kneeling just today in worship. We were worshiping, just knelt before the Lord. Can I tell you, that is completely in order. You know, worship is like this. You come into worship, you leave worship different than you came. All right. It ought to change you. All right. So you shouldn't ever be like in this status, this static, unmoving worship experience. It should be moving you and changing you. It also should be challenging you. You should go to greater depths in worship than you've ever gone. Most people never go further in worship than what they're comfortable with and what they're comfortable other people seeing them do. Well, you know, those people over there would see me if I raised this hand, and they might think something weird about me. If I jumped up and down, I don't know what other people would see. There are people that actually sit beside their spouse and go, I don't know what my spouse would think if I just shouted hallelujah or said amen to the word of God. So they shut their mouth. Don't you dare do it. Let us bow down in worship. You walked in, but you bowed down in worship. You're kneeling before the Lord, your Maker. You are completely changed. You are not staying in a static status. You're moving. You're moving. Redemption Church, I want a church that's moving. We need to be a church that's moving in worship. My goodness, let us move. Verse 7, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. Today, if only you would hear His voice. Can I tell you, you feel what just flowed in the room while we were looking at the Word of God? Can I tell you, it's not just another song service. No, the very presence of God is in the house. It is new every time I feel it. It's new every time. Be aware of it. Surrender to it. Right now in this place, close your eyes. Do this for me. Just raise your hands and say, God, I surrender to your presence. I surrender to you. You're the reason I sing, God. You're the reason I dance and I lift my hands. I clap my hands. I rejoice in you. Father, I thank you for this day. It's not just another moment. Lord, it's everything. It means the world to me to be in your presence. Can I tell you? Church, it's not just another sermon. Matthew 4 and 4, Jesus answered, it is written. Who's he talking to? Well, he's talking to all of us, right? But he's talking in this story, what?
To the devil.
To the devil. He's under attack from the enemy. He says, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word. On every, somebody say every word.
Every word.
Every word that comes from the mouth of God. You see, the devil was tempting him to turn stones into rock, turn rocks into bread, and then he could eat. He was in the middle of a fast, and he says, no, no, no. The word of God is my bread. It sustains me. It's everything I need, and we actually live by every word of God. No, it's just another sermon. Oh, what are we doing different on this sermon series? What's going on in this? No, it is the unchanging, eternal, life-giving word of God.
Amen.
It's not just another sermon. Say, it's not just another sermon.
Hebrews
4 and 12 says this, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The word of God is like the scalpel of a surgeon that can do open heart surgery. It can separate bone from marrow. It can do things that nothing else can do. Why? Because it's alive. It's active. It's powerful. It's the word of God. I threw this verse in here because it's Amos chapter 8 and 11. There's another reason why you need to treat the Word of God more dearly. Here it is. The days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of food or thirst for water, but a famine of, say the next words with me, hearing the words of the Lord. There's a famine coming. There's a famine coming. I would tell you that the famine is already here. Yeah, there's food at Walmart. There's food at Aldi's. Yeah, there's food in your refrigerator. But we are warned that there is a famine coming. A famine of hearing the words of the Lord. You need to hear the words of the Lord and hold them as dearly as your last meal. Hold them as dearly as anything. Get the life out of the word. I believe that this famine's already in the world. What do you think? Do you think there's a famine of hearing the word of God? I would also tell you, in some circles, there's a famine in really preaching the word. But that's another sermon. Verse 12. People will stagger from sea to sea and wander from north to east, searching for the word of the Lord. But they will not find it. Can you imagine if you were looking everywhere and couldn't find the word of the Lord? The day is coming when that will happen in our world. We could turn to Revelation, talk about some very serious things. Can I tell you, you need to take not for granted the word of God. It's not just another sermon. One day people are going to be searching high and low to hear a word like this. Why? You, Pastor Fluitt, you must think really high of yourself. No, it's not the preacher, friend. It is the word. It's the word. And it is worth searching for, and you don't have to search for it anymore. Don't you know that there is somebody searching it? They went to a club last night looking for something to sustain them, something to feed them. They've been looking everywhere. They've been going from drug to drug, finding something that will give them what only the word of God can bring. And you, my friends, it's no longer new, so you aren't aware. But my goodness, if that person could just hear one moment about the word of God, how Jesus Christ loves them, how he will wash away all of their sins and make them brand new, my goodness, they would come unglued. I know sinners that would run to this altar upon hearing that. Be aware of the word. And it's not just another time talking to God. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. You realize that? When every time you approach God, he hears you. You are heard by him. How important is your prayer? My goodness, we should pray more, shouldn't we, folks? Can we be honest enough to say that in the house of God? We need to pray some more, because every time we pray, we are approaching God, and he will ask anything. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, it says my people here. My people. If my people, the people that ought to know better, the people that shouldn't take the word for granted, the people that ought to love his presence, the people that ought to be people of prayer. What does it say? If my people who are called by my name, oh man, they're called by his name. Anybody called by his name in the house? Is anybody a Christian? Does anybody love the name of Jesus so much that wherever Jesus tells you to go, you're going? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Do you understand, child of God, that it's not just another time in the altar? It is a time where sin can be forgiven, land can be healed. It's a time where you are walking into the very calling of God, child called by his name. My goodness. Can I remind you that we forget what is right in front of us? We forget it. That's why we're in such danger. We forget, we become unaware. We don't honor what we have like we should anymore. We take for granted the wonderful things that are right in front of us. Can I tell you today that we need to do some maintenance? We need to stop forgetting these things. We need to check up on them, fix these things. James chapter 1, 23 and 24, this is a well-known verse, all the way through 25, says this: anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says, is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror. So, listens to the word but doesn't do it is like somebody who looks at their face in the mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately, say the word, forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Too often, the Church of Jesus Christ has heard the word. The problem isn't that we haven't heard the word. The problem is that we've heard the word and walked away and didn't do the word. And we're like the person that looks into the word, into the mirror, and then walks away forgetting what they look like. But then, here's the double part of it. We then walk around and say, well, God, why aren't good things happening in my life? Why am I not getting that promotion? Why aren't I getting those blessings? Why is someone else getting that and I'm not doing it? Well, you turn to verse 25. Not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Can I tell you, if you are treating the things of God like forgetful things, treating them like things that don't need to be honored, treating them like things that are unfresh and unnew, you will not find the blessing that God has for you. I've been in services where you had the tremendous outpouring of God's Spirit, tremendous word of God that was so timely. Everybody in the room said, oh my goodness, God spoke to us tonight. And I can take you to places where two people would come down to the altar and they would both be in the very same presence of God, under the same ministry, under the same word of God, in the same atmosphere, the same people praying for them, the same worship tunes, the same everything. One of them walks away and we never see them again. The other one is filled with the Spirit and is still walking with Jesus Christ today. Don't miss it. Don't forget it. Be aware of it. Amen. See, that person that turned away, not doing the word of God, they forgot it. Sometimes you talk to them and you say, I would say, do you remember that night? No, they don't remember that night. Everything about it has been stolen from them and taken from them. Like a man looking in a mirror and turning and forgetting their true identity. Can I tell you, this altar, your true identity is down here in this altar. Your true identity is down here. It's in this altar that I found out I'm loved by God. It's in this altar that I found out that He has got a plan and a purpose for me. It's in an altar like this that my wife was healed of epilepsy. It's in an altar like this that I got saved. I made heaven my home because I came down to an altar like this.
Hallelujah.
But I could have just as easily heard the word, felt the goosebump, turned away, not doing the word, and forgotten it. My good friend, Pastor David Fuller, has a saying that is so profound and so important. He says it like this. I'll have to explain a little bit. Don't mistake a thing felt for a thing done. One more time. Don't mistake a thing felt for a thing done. And this is tricky because you can feel God's presence and think you're all right with God and walk away and not have done something about it. It is such an honor and a powerful thing to feel God's presence, but it does not mean that you are okay and not in need of changing your life. Don't mistake feeling for doing. Okay? Some of you in this place, you feel God's presence. That means God's drawing you near. But it doesn't mean that he's checked, marked you, and you're all right, and you can just turn around here and walk out without praying today, and that you've got nothing to worry about because you felt God present. No, that's not what it's about. Don't mistake a thing felt for a thing done. Isn't that a good word right there? Man, I'm so glad God put godly people in my life with that kind of knowledge. It says you have to go further than hearing the word in James. You must actively do what it says. You must maintain the word that you heard. You got to maintain the word that you heard. If I had time, I'd take you to the parable of the sower, where they're sowing out the seed, and the seed is the word of God. In one of the most haunting places in all of Scripture, it says that there were these birds that came in, and they spoke. Stole the seed right out of the soil. The soil is people. That there is a spiritual entity that could actually come right in and steal the word of God from you. Can I tell you something? You don't have to do one thing to hear the word of God, but you have to do everything in your power to keep the word of God. You're hearing it right now and it's flowing to you free. But child of God, you have got to, by faith, fight the good fight of faith to hold on to this word of God. Because there is a spiritual entity that will try to steal it from you, will try to steal your faith, will try to steal your joy, will try to steal your calling. I can tell you, I can tell anybody that is hearing God what the devil is going to say to them next. Oh yeah, try me. Here it is. So you're hearing God tell you this. The next voice you're going to hear is this. Are you sure that was God? Little bird, get out of here.
Amen.
Trying to steal that word. I remember the first time God ever spoke to me. I felt it so strongly. I knew it was God. But 10 seconds later, little bird came along and said, "Are you sure that was the word of the Lord? Are you sure that was God talking to you? Maybe you're just crazy." Get out, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ. You know what? God gave me victory in that day. Jonathan Heisberger, stand up. He's the fruit of that right there. Clap your hands in the house. Thank you, Jonathan. I'll never forget it. It says to look intently into the word. Are we looking intently into the perfect law of God? Are we looking intently into the word of God? If there is dust on your Bible, I would suggest that maybe you aren't. Look intently into the word and continue in it. Doesn't that sound like maintenance?
Yes.
That you need to keep looking into it, keep checking it, keep looking at your life and the word and making sure it measures up and continuing in it. You got to maintain. Because what you don't maintain, you forget. Real quick, I want to tell you that man was made to maintain. Man was made to maintain from the very beginning. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. King James Version says to tend the garden. I want you to maintain the garden, Adam. Man was made to maintain. God placed man in the garden to tend that garden, to watch over it. Can I tell you what this means? It means that maintenance is God's design for us. If you are healthy, but you stop eating healthy, stop working out, and start laying around watching Netflix all day, conviction. What will happen? You won't be healthy for very much longer. You will take years off your life. You will become fat and unhealthy. Your body was made for maintenance. If you're knowledgeable in a subject, this is one of my least favorite things about life. Because you would like to be knowledgeable in a subject and always have that knowledge. But you weren't made that way. If you're knowledgeable in a subject, but then you stop studying that subject, you stop using that knowledge, what will happen? You start to lose that knowledge. Why? Because mentally, your mind is made for maintenance. Your physical is made for maintenance. Your mental is made for maintenance. Let's talk about the spirit. If you're spiritually alive in Christ, but then you stop worshiping, you stop reading your word, you stop praying, what will happen? You will lose spiritual ground. You can slide completely away from your relationship with Jesus. This is because your soul was made for maintenance. Your spiritual life is made for maintenance. There is not an area of your life where you can just stop working and rest on your past effort.
That's right.
Not a single area. You must keep going. Scripture urges you to persevere. That means you don't quit. You don't give up. You keep trying. Scripture encourages you to keep the faith. Yeah. To keep the faith once delivered unto the saints. It was delivered to you, but now you got to keep it, to earnestly contend for the faith. That means it's worth fighting for. Scripture encourages you to be aware and to be watchful. Don't just stumble through life, forgetting where you are, forgetting that you're in a war against a spiritual enemy. Scripture encourages you to pray constantly. Scripture commands you to spread the gospel everywhere. Scripture commands you to bless the Lord at all times. Scripture tells you to stir up the gift that's inside of you. So what should you do? You keep pressing. Don't act like you've obtained, Paul said. I don't act like I've obtained, but still I press toward the mark of the high calling of God. Keep praying. Keep believing. Keep praising. Do not stop. If I could give you three words that you keep the rest of your life, do not stop. There is an enemy. He wants to turn you around. But do not stop. You've been praying for something and you haven't seen it happen yet. But do not stop. God's given you a promise, but you haven't even seen it yet. Do not stop. Don't you dare quit. God's given you promises for a church in Plano. Pastor, don't you stop. You keep preaching. You keep going. You know, I have to encourage myself in the Lord sometimes like that. Oh, this is not the time for quitting. This is not the time for turning around. But I'm not going to stop. I am pressing towards what God has called me because He has absolutely called me. And I will not quit. Do not stop. Don't you dare stop. Clap your hands to the Lord. Oh, man. Don't you know that He's never stopped? I'll give you permission to stop. You can stop as soon as Jesus stops. You can stop as soon as God stops. Because He'll never, ever stop. He'll never stop. He's never quit on you. You can quit as soon as He quits on you. Because if He ever quits on you, we might as well all stop. But as long as God is for us, who can be against us? Greater is He that is in me than is he that is in the world. He's given us power. He's given us power to do all things. God is with us. Don't you dare stop. That would be the most foolish thing you could ever do. Don't you dare stop. I'm drawing to a close very soon. I will ask you to come to this altar and seek God in a few moments. We need to do some maintenance in this altar. But I want to just tell you just how God talks to me. I want to talk to you about an unmaintained tool. An unmaintained tool. Can you say that word with me? An unmaintained tool. If you look at our slide there, we have a picture of a lawnmower. I once let my grass grow too tall. Anybody ever do that? It's really awesome. The city will send you a letter if you do that. Just like, hey, we're so glad that you're living in our city. It's so cool. Hey, we're gonna fine you. because your grass is too tall, right? It's just really cool. Love you, Plano. I love you, Plano. All right. The city sent me a warning that if I did not mow my lawn, I was going to receive a fine. Actually, it's a little bit more urgent than that. They're like, we are sending people right now if you don't do it. All right, so I went to my garage. I pulled out my lawnmower. I had not used since the previous season. Might be part of the problem. I hadn't used it in this season. It had just sat there through a season. I reached down and I grabbed the pull that starts the lawnmower engine. I yanked it and it, can y'all give me that sound? What do you think that sound like? Grrr. Reached down, I was like, well, I probably loosened up a little bit. We'll get it this time. Reached down there and grrr. I'm like, oh my goodness. So this time I'll put my foot right here and I'll like push as I'm, grrr. That's all I got out of my lawnmower. I spent there a long time. I got a pretty good workout trying to pull this thing to a start. But all I ever got was the sugar. That's all I got. I had a job to do. It was right in front of me. There was a task I was assigned to do. It was right in front of me. And I actually had the tool that I needed right in front of me on the scene. But I could not complete the job because the lawnmower would not start. Why wouldn't it start? The previous season, instead of doing a few minutes of maintenance, I just shoved it back into the garage. We'll deal with that later. Finished mowing the lawn, just shoved it in there, and then it just sat unused for a season. The gas just sat in that lawnmower and it ruined. It went bad. And now it wouldn't start. It wasn't the lawnmower's fault. It was a user error. It was me. Maintenance works in the now. Maintenance works in the now so that you can work in the future. You say you care about your future, but you are not actively caring for your future if you're not doing maintenance in the now. Maintenance in the now secures your future. Can I tell you today that we are about to do some maintenance right here in the now? And it's not just for the now. It's for the future. I had to take that lawnmower. Here's some of the work I had to do. I had to do everything I should have done way back in December. I had to drain the gas, but more. I had to do a lot more. I had to take apart the gas line. I had to take out the carburetor, which required several hours of YouTube. And all those ads. Because I don't know what I'm doing. So I had to take apart the carburetor. I had to go spray that down, clean all of that up. And then I lost one of the pieces to that carburetor. There's a little piece right there. I lost it in my yard. It was a complete mess. I called Ackley. He wasn't here. Ackley came over and took like 2 seconds and saw it in the yard. Eagle Eye Ackley. God blesses that guy. That guy, he's awesome. But it would have been so much easier if I would have just done a little maintenance in the now. Just a little maintenance in the now could have saved my future grief. I wished I had taken time to maintain. There are so many lives that would say that today. I wish I would have taken some time just to maintain. Have you ever reached for a tool that had not been maintained and wouldn't work? Have you ever done that? I know that God sometimes feels like that when He reaches for us. We are that lawnmower, unmaintained by our own lack of action. And there is an absolute field in front of us that needs us for the job. But we are not in the working condition because we have not maintained our life. How frustrating. You think it's frustrating when you reach down and hear the grrr? How frustrating is it when all of heaven is watching you and you won't walk across the room and talk to that person? God's reaching for you. Don't you know you are His tool? You are His workmanship, created to do good works in advance. Yeah. He's reaching for you. Don't you know He wants to use your prayer? He's trying to work in you, but you won't pray. He wants to use the word that's inside of you, but you are rebelling against it, not stirring up that gift in you. God sometimes has reached for me in hopes to use me. I know it's true, but I was not in working shape. I was like that carburetor. I needed my heart to be taken out and cleaned up and then put back together so I would work again. Don't you know that's what God does? Is that what He does? Has He ever taken your heart and just done open heart surgery on you? Could it be that right now God is reaching for you, but you are an unmaintained tool? Could it be that maybe you've been praying the right thing? You've been saying, God, save my family. But you haven't been willing to be the tool that He uses. Let's talk to you, Redemption Church. Could it be that you, Redemption Church, you're not ready to be used of God? We do these three things every time we come together. Everyone worships, everyone receives the word of God, everyone talks to God. We don't do it because some hotshot pastor somewhere recommends it for church growth. That's not why we do it. We don't do it because somebody recommended it in a book we read. No, we do these three things because they will maintain your heart. They will maintain your heart and your mind and your soul and your emotions. They will maintain you. When you worship God, it does something inside of you. When you receive the Word of God, it does something inside of you. When you pray in this altar, you need to come pray. It does something for you. Don't think that you're doing your pastor any favors by coming to the altar. Well, you know, he worked really hard today, so I'll come to the altar so he doesn't feel so bad about his sermon. Don't you dare do that. It's not about me, sweetheart. It is about you, and it is about the work that God wants to do in your heart, because you are the tool that he wants to unleash on the world. You are the one he wants to grab and change lives, turn worlds upside down. He wants to, this whole world is broken, and he wants to use you to fix it. He wants to use you. Don't you stop. Don't you stop. Invite the Lord. Invite the Lord today to do a work inside of you. Do you want God to use you today? Could some maintenance be done on your life in this altar? Why don't you come? I want to tell you, marriages are maintained in this altar. Maintenance on marriages. This altar will divorce-proof your home. Why don't you come right now? I want to tell you, your health can be maintained in this altar. Cancer is healed in this altar. Depression is healed in this altar. Why don't you come? Why don't you come right now? I want to tell you, I would have lost my mind a long time ago if it had not been for the altar of God. Why don't you come right now? Why don't you come? I'm waiting on you. Why don't you come? All of heaven is waiting on you. Why don't you come? It's open. It's ready for you. Why don't you come talk to God in this house? Let maintenance happen in your heart. Come on, come to this altar. Don't you wait any longer. Come in this altar. Surrender your life to God. Ask God to take out your heart and clean it. Ask God to do a brand new thing in you. Ask God, Lord, start turning over things to Him. Start taking those sins and casting them at His feet. Come get repentance. Come get everything you need right now in Jesus' name. I pray for every person that's in this room. God, Lord, let them make a move towards you today. God, Lord, don't let them turn away from this moment. Now is the moment for the now and for the future in the name of Jesus. I want you to touch everyone watching and listening online, God. In Jesus' name, you've got a plan for them, God. I speak speak hope to them. Don't you dare quit. Don't you dare stop in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's talk to God in this altar. If you want a miracle from God, I want you to come in the first 2 feet. I'm going to pray for you. And I believe in everything in my heart that God will give you exactly what you need today. Come on, let's talk to God in this house in Jesus' name.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.